All right. Thank you so much, Rosie. So today is the last Sunday of this year, and also the last Sunday that we're going through our Advent series. And our Advent series, we entitled it The Gift. And we've been talking about how during the Advent season, we want to look forward to the coming of Christ. And we look forward to his first coming, which was Christmas, which we celebrated this past week. And at the same time, we look forward to his second coming. And we've been talking about, specifically during this Advent season, we've been talking about how as we look forward to Christ's return, there's a lot of times that we get distracted by our lives, and especially we get distracted by what's going on with our finances. And so we took some time to talk about money during this month of December. And we talked about as well that our Lord Jesus Christ is going to return. Last week we talked about how we want to look forward to Jesus' coming. And so today we want to finish off this sermon series by remembering that yes, our Lord Jesus Christ is coming back one day. We don't know when, we don't know at what hour or what day, but we know that he is coming back one day. And so as we think about that idea, today we're going to be talking about the idea how we also receive a gift of new beginnings. So until the Lord returns, every day, every year is like a gift of a new beginning. And so to explore this idea, let's look at Luke chapter 12, starting in verse 41. If you have your Bibles with you, I want to ask you to open it up. If you have one of these Bibles from the outside, we're looking at page 872. Luke chapter 12, starting in verse 41. Luke chapter 12, starting in verse 41. This is the reading of God's word. Peter said, "Lord, are you telling this parable for us or for all?" And the Lord said, "Who then is the faithful and wise manager whom his master will set over his household to give them their portion of food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly, I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. But if that servant says to himself, 'My master is delayed in coming,' and begins to beat the male and female servants and to eat and drink and get drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him and at an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and put him with the unfaithful. And that servant who knew his master's will but did not get ready or act according to his will receive a severe beating. But the one who did not know and did what deserved a beating will receive a light beating. Everyone to whom much was given, of him much will be required. And from him to whom they entrusted much, they will demand the more." Amen. Well, as I mentioned, today is the last day of the year. How many of you guys are going to be going to Taipei 101 tonight to watch the fireworks? Okay, some of us. You know, I just want to say that I have a tradition, with my son to go bike riding to Taipei 101, to go near Taipei 101 and to watch the fireworks. And I say that it's a tradition kind of because for the past couple years, my son said no. And so I'm still trying to keep this tradition, and I want to invite my son tonight as well to come and join me for that. But I also want to extend the invitation to all of you. If any of you want to come bike riding with us after our New Year's Eve prayer gathering tonight, if any of you want to join me and possibly my son to go bike riding, to go watch the fireworks at Taipei 101, you are welcome to do so. Just let me know. Just send a message in the LINE group and let me know that you're willing, that you want to do that. Well, every time we come to this time of year, we think about how we're going into a new year. And for some of us, that's an exciting idea, because we're thinking that it's a new year of new possibilities and new hopes. But for some of us, we've had a lot of these new years and we're just kind of tired because we just know that it's another year of work, another year of troubles, and it just feels like it's the same thing over and over again. And we may be asking ourselves, is there an end to any of this? When will this come to an end? When will I finally be able to just be done with everything and just rest? The Bible does tell us that there is an end. There is an end that's coming. And what we're talking about is that day when Jesus Christ will return once again. Our passage last week that we looked at, and that's the passage right before the passage that we read today, speaks about how Jesus Christ will return. And Jesus told a parable about that, about how he will be returning one day and that people will not know when that exact time is. And some people will be caught off guard, but we need to be ready for that day when Jesus Christ returns. So there is an end that is coming, but what are we supposed to be doing until that day comes? And so that's what we're going to be looking at through our passage today. What are we going to be doing until that day comes? What are we supposed to be doing? Well, the main idea that we're going to find in our passage today is this. Be faithful and wise with what the Lord has given. Be faithful and wise with what the Lord has given. And the 3 points that we're going to go through are number one, what the Lord has given. Number two, faithful and wise. And number three, the gift. And if you've been with us the past month, you know that this last point is a very practical idea about how to apply the main principle and the main idea today. And so again, the main idea for today is be faithful and wise with what the Lord has given. Let's talk about this first point. What has the Lord given to us? Well, as I mentioned, previous to our passage today, Jesus was giving a parable. He was sharing a parable about how the Son of Man is going to return one day and a lot of people won't be expecting it. People will be caught off guard. But Jesus encourages the people, be ready. Be ready for the time that the Lord will come back. And then we find in our passage in verse 41, Peter speaks up, one of the disciples. Peter speaks up and he asks, Lord, are you telling this parable for us or for all? Are you telling us to get ready? Are you telling us, the people that you have chosen to be your 12? Are you telling us or are you telling all the crowds that are also listening in on what you're saying? Jesus responds with another parable. And he says, who then is the faithful and wise manager whom his master will set over his household to give them their portion of food at the proper time? So Jesus is responding. Peter is saying, are you talking to us or to everyone here? Jesus responds with another parable and he says, who then is this faithful and wise manager who the master will set over his whole household and who the servant will give the food at the proper time? Who is that manager going to be? Now, what Jesus is responding with is this idea of responsibility. What has the Lord given to us? He's given us a responsibility to be faithful and wise with what the Lord has given to us. The Lord has given us this type of responsibility to know his will and to live according to his will. There is an expectation to be faithful, an expectation to be wise. Now, what do we need to be faithful and wise about? Actually, we've been talking about it in the past weeks. Here in this passage, it doesn't say specifically what we need to be faithful and wise about. But in the previous weeks, we've been talking about how God has given us finances, and we don't have to worry about our finances because God is going to bless us. God's going to give us what we need, and God's going to give us a little bit more than what we just need, so that we can use that not for ourselves, but so that we can bless other people with that. And not only that, we need to be faithful and wise, not only with our finances, but we need to keep in mind that Jesus Christ is going to come back, and we need to have that in our minds so that we are diligent, that we're going to be faithful and wise with our time, with our finances, and live for the Lord, giving not only of our time, but even our finances for the Lord's glory. We don't want to be like these examples that Jesus Christ gives in the parable. In verse 45, it says, if that servant says to himself, my master is delayed in coming, and then he begins to beat the male and female servants and eat and drink and get drunk, then the master's going to come back and he's going to punish him. We don't want to be like the person that knows what God's will is and goes completely against God's will. Actually, it doesn't even say whether this person knows God's will or not, but he says, nothing's happening. My master's not coming. And then he begins to live a life that goes completely against what God desires. We don't want to be like this servant. Also in verse 47, we don't want to be like this servant. A servant who knew his master's will, but did not get ready or act according to God's will, the master's will. This person will receive a severe beating. And we don't want to be like this person. In verse 48, it says, the one who did not know God's will and did what deserved the beating. Right? There are some people that don't know God's will, and so they just go on and living not according to God's ways, but according to their own ways. And they deserve a beating. We don't want to be like them. Why? Because the result will be, in verse 46, for that first servant, it says, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he does not know. And what will happen? This is one of the most gruesome passages that Jesus says to describe what will happen to those people that are unfaithful to him. He says he will come, the master will come and cut him in pieces and put him with the unfaithful. It's a scary picture. What about the other servant? It says this servant who knew the master's will but did not do according to the master's will or get ready, he will receive a severe beating. What about this last scenario where the servant did not know the father's will, the master's will, and did what deserved the beating? He will receive a light beating. And it goes on to say, everyone to whom much was given him, much will be required, and from him to whom they entrusted much, they will demand one more, or the more. So, as we think about this passage, maybe some of you guys saw that there was one person that was going to be cut up in pieces, and then there was one person that was going to just receive a severe beating, and there was one person that was going to receive a light beating. And you might begin to think, wait a minute, what's going on here? Do I want to be cut up in pieces, or do I want to receive a light beating? No, I hope we're not thinking in that way. But some of us, we might be thinking, why does it say this? Why are there these different levels of punishments? It doesn't make sense. Does that mean that there's different levels of punishment in hell? Or what is this talking about? And also, you know, some people in the past, especially Catholics, they use this verse to talk about how maybe this is where purgatory can be explained, where some believers, they won't be cut up in pieces and put with the unfaithful, but maybe they will get some beating after they die, and once their beating is done, then finally they'll be able to go to heaven. So some Catholics will use this passage to interpret it in that way. Well, let me give some Bible reading tips. Usually when we read parables, not all parables, but usually when we read parables, there's one point or one meaning that it's trying to convey. And the good thing is, for a number of parables, Jesus actually tells us what that one point is. And so let's look at verse 48. Jesus ends the parable by saying, "Everyone to whom much was given, of him much will be required. And from him to whom they entrusted much, they will demand the more." And so our point for our first point was the idea that we need to be faithful with what the Lord has given. We need to be wise with what the Lord has given. Another Bible reading tip is that even though you understand that the parable has one meaning, but still you're thinking, do these other parts of the parable have any particular thing that we need to understand? Or, you know, I want to understand this better. And so another tip that I would give is that you can look at commentaries. There are commentaries that you can find online. If you go to like a website like the Blue Letter Bible, they have multiple commentaries on there that you could refer to. But even when you look at the different commentaries, sometimes you might be a little bit confused still, because not all commentaries will agree with each other. And so it's a good thing to look at the commentaries and just see what some of the scholars might say, do kind of a comparison, but then pray to the Lord and ask that the Lord would reveal his truth to you, and also come and talk to me or any of the other leaders in the church and ask about what you're reading to try to understand better what the passage is saying. Well, when we look at this passage and when we look at what some of the commentaries say, what we find is that some commentators will point out that this passage is specifically talking about the leaders of the day and how the leaders, some of the leaders, the religious leaders, they are given responsibility to care for the sheep. They're given a responsibility to care for the people, to be religious leaders and to point people to the Lord. But some of these religious leaders, they go against God completely, and they take advantage of those that are poor. They take advantage of those that are sick. They take advantage of those that are weak. And so they're like that first servant who says, "Our master is delayed," and then goes and beats their other servants and gets drunk, eats and gets and is merry and just does whatever they want. But then there are those that are that know the Father's will, that know the Master's will, but they don't do it, and they're going to receive a severe beating. And then there are those that maybe don't know, and this is where I would say that I don't completely agree with the commentaries, where the commentaries say this is only talking about the leadership. Well, perhaps with this last example, with the servant that didn't know the Master's will and still did something that went against the Lord's will, this is also addressing not just the leaders, but everyone in general. When Peter asks, "Are you talking to us or to everyone else?" Jesus is probably going to respond. He doesn't respond. He doesn't give a specific answer here. But what he says, in a way, with the parable, what he says is, "I'm talking to you and everyone else. I'm talking to everyone." That the Lord has given you a responsibility to know what the Master's will is and to live according to the Master's will. Now, remember, we said that we don't want to be like those servants. And yes, it talks about the different levels of beatings and punishments and things like that, but Jesus is not focused on the different levels. He only has the different levels in the parable to point out that he's talking not only just to the poor people and the sinners, but he's also talking to the leadership. And he's giving a warning. So as we think about this, and we're faced with the idea that Jesus Christ is coming back, and the Lord has given us a responsibility to live according to his will, to know his will and to live according to his will, how do you feel at this moment? Especially as Jesus gave some of the examples of the punishments. How do you feel at this moment? Again, I hope our idea is not, "I hope to get a light beating." Maybe it's better for us not to know God's will, because it says if you don't know God's will, then you're going to get a light beating. I hope that's not our answer. I hope our answer is, "I don't want to be any of those unfaithful servants. I want to be the faithful and wise servant. But how can I do that? That's where we come to our second point, faithful and wise. Again, what we're talking about is that we want to be the faithful and wise servant. We want to be faithful and wise with what the Lord has given to us. So what is it to be faithful and wise? Well, as we think about these ideas and we're thinking, we need to be faithful and we need to be wise with what the Lord has given to us. Some of us, we might be a little bit fearful right now. I don't know if I'm being faithful enough. I don't know if I'm being wise enough. And I'm just not sure if the Lord comes back today, oh man, I really hope that I'm not going to be one of those people that's going to get beat or the one that gets cut up in pieces and placed with the unfaithful. And some of you might be fearful. I just don't know what's going to happen to me. Some of you, you might be thinking, oh man, if this is the message today, I need to try really hard from now on. In this new year, I'm going to try really hard to be faithful and wise. I'm going to be wise with my money. I'm going to be wise with my time. I'm going to be giving to the poor. I'm going to be giving to the church. I'm going to do what I can to live for the Lord. I'm going to try to do a Bible reading plan, and I'm going to be faithful to the Lord. That's my New Year's resolution. Some of us might have that kind of thinking. By the way, my New Year's resolution last year was to read through the whole New Testament in Chinese. And I'm only in the third book in the New Testament. I'm going to try to keep reading through the New Testament this year as well. Some of us, we might have this thought, this is what God tells me and I need to try really hard. But then there are some of us that look at this and say, oh, no. God is a loving God. He's not going to cut me up in pieces. God is a loving God, and so, you know what? We don't really need to think carefully about this. We don't have to be faithful and wise. It's going to be okay. Don't worry. And some of us, we fall into that category. If we were to label these categories, I would label them those that are legalistic and those that believe that it's okay, that look at license. Some of us, whenever we hear a command like this, and this is the main idea of the passage, you need to be faithful and wise with what the Lord has given to you. And as you hear a message like this, some of us, we're sitting here and we're thinking, oh man, I feel so guilty. I need to try harder. Oh man, I feel so guilty. I just keep failing, and I'm so afraid of what God's going to do to me. And if you're thinking in this way, you fall into this category of legalism. And the basic idea of legalism is this. Through my own faithfulness, I'm going to get the favor of God. Through my own goodness, that's how I'm going to be saved. This is the only way that God will be happy with me, if I am faithful myself. And so you lean upon your own strength and you, without saying these words, but your actions, your thinking, your worrisome heart shows that you're depending on yourself and not depending on the Lord. And some of us, on the other hand, we fall into this category of license where we say, you know what? Even though we have a command like this, but God is a loving God. He's not going to punish us. You know, all those ideas of punishment, that's all for the Old Testament. We're in the New Testament now. God is the God of love. And so we don't need to think about all of these commands and how we're failing and feel guilty about all these things. We don't need to think about all that. Just be happy and live life however you want, because God is a God of love. And if you think in this way, then you're also going against God. Because you're saying, we don't need God's law. We don't need God's commands. We don't need to listen to what Jesus says. He's maybe my Savior, but He's not my Lord. He's not my Master. And I'm going to do whatever I want to do, and it's going to be okay, because my God, I believe, is a God of love, but He's not a God of justice. You see, whenever we fall into this trap of saying, I'm going to do my best for the Lord, and I'm going to do my best, and God's going to be happy with me. Or if you fall into the other side where you say, you know what? God's already happy with me. I don't need to try at all. It's okay. Either way, whichever direction we fall, what we end up doing is that we are saying, I am not guilty. I don't have to feel guilty anymore. I'm going to find a way so that I don't have to feel guilt or shame any longer. And I'm going to do it myself. And this is a response of pride. This is a response where we're not leaning upon the Lord, but we're leaning upon ourselves. Again, even if you say, I'm going to go against God's commands and give myself license, or even when you're saying, I'm going to do my best to follow God's law, and you fall into legalism, either way, you're sinning against God because you're leaning upon yourself. And in a way, you're saying that you yourself are able to save yourself. You make yourself to be God. You see, when Jesus tells us this parable, what it should lead us toward is a particular mindset that gets us ready. You know, Luke, we're in Luke chapter 12, but then we're not at the end of Luke where it talks about Jesus' crucifixion. When we read these passages, it should get us into a mindset where we think, I am helpless. I cannot save myself. So it gets us ready to receive what Jesus Christ did for us. The response that God is looking for from us is this: to admit that we are a failure. To admit it and to seek help. To actually turn away from ourselves and to turn toward Jesus, who is God and who represented mankind and died for our sins. We need to come to a place where we say, I cannot keep this command. I am deserving to be a person that gets cut up. I am deserving to be that person that gets a beating. That's me. And I need help, Jesus. I need you. I am not able to be faithful. I am not able to be wise. But Lord Jesus, I turn to you now. Because you were faithful and you were wise. In 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30, it says this: And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Jesus himself is the wisdom of God. In Hebrews 3, 6, it says this: But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son. And we are his house, if indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting in our hope. You see, what it's saying here is this: Jesus was the faithful and wise servant. And because Jesus Christ, he died on the cross for our sins, not only are our sins forgiven, but he makes us into the children of God. We become children of God. We are adopted into God's household. We are now part of that household. And what Jesus does is that he becomes the servant, the faithful and wise servant who becomes the master over the household, as the parable says. And he is the one that gives the portion of food to the people that are in the household at the proper time. Jesus is the one that becomes our master. Jesus is the one that provides the food that we need. Jesus is the bread of life. He gives himself to us. Jesus is our faithful and wise Savior. The Lord Jesus said, "Who then is the faithful and wise manager whom his master will set over his household to give them their portion of food at the proper time?" You see, what this is saying is this. Brothers and sisters, if you are a Christian here today, when you hear a message from the Lord like this today, that you need to be faithful and wise till the Lord returns, what we can do is we can admit that we have failed. And we fail over and over again. But we turn to Jesus, who was and who is the faithful and wise one. He has forgiven you of your sins for how we have been unfaithful, how we have not been wise in our lives. And he remained faithful for us. And Jesus tells us when we put our trust in him, then he gives us that faithful and wise record. That record he gives to us, and our record of unfaithfulness and foolishness we give to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why he dies on the cross for us. And that's also why we are counted as children of God. If you are not a believer here today, I want you to know that you can also join in the feast of the Lord. You can also be saved from your unfaithfulness and your foolish living. You can also be saved, and you're not going to be able to save yourself. But Jesus has come, and he was faithful and wise for you. And so all we have to do is just trust that Jesus Christ died for our sins and that he rose again from the dead, and he's the one that conquered sin and conquered death. He is faithful and he is wise for us. And so if that's the case, what we find is that every day is a new gift from the Lord. Let me explain what that means. We're called to be faithful and wise with what the Lord has given to us. We cannot do it on our own. Jesus Christ has done it for us. And now what Jesus does is that he gives us the ability to change so that we can begin to be faithful and wise with what the Lord has given. How does that happen? When we look to Jesus, we see that he humbled himself. He is God, but he came down to earth and he humbled himself and lived as a human being. He humbled himself to the point of even sacrificing himself. He became a servant. He's the one that came to serve his people. And he sacrificed himself by dying on the cross for our sins. He gave his life. And as we see what Jesus has done, Jesus tells us that he gives us the Holy Spirit and now enables us and empowers us so that our lives can begin to change, so that we ourselves can also now be faithful and wise. It doesn't mean that we're going to do this perfectly. What it does mean is that God is going to be there continually. Our Lord Jesus is going to be there continually. The Holy Spirit will be there continually with us to help us to have those moments where we do look to Jesus and we do make that wise choice and we are faithful to our Lord. It's because our Lord Jesus Christ is helping us all along the way. And so as we see what Jesus Christ has done, we follow his example. We see that he humbled himself and we humble ourselves and we say, "Lord Jesus, I cannot do this myself and I need your help. I need you
And I want to trust that you have done this faithfully and wisely for me. And then we see how he sacrificed himself and how he served. And we say, Lord Jesus, I see that not only did you humble yourself, but you served me. And so I want to now sacrifice myself, sacrifice my time, sacrifice my finances, sacrifice my gifts and the skills that I have. And I want to serve your people with these things. And we see how Jesus gave his life. And we say to our Lord Jesus as well, I see what you've done. And so until the day that you return, Lord, until the day that you return, you've given me life. You've given me skills. You've given me talents. You've given me gifts. You've given me finances. You've given me time. And I want to give my life and live it for you. The passage said, everyone to whom much was given of him, much will be required. And from him to whom they entrusted much, they will demand the more. And as we read this again, this fear might creep in. Oh man, am I going to be doing this faithfully for the Lord? But let's keep this in mind. Because of Jesus, the greatest gift, we have received the gift of new beginnings. Jesus was perfectly wise and faithful so that we can learn little by little, even with mistakes, we can learn to be wise and faithful. And so every day is a new beginning. You don't have to do it perfectly. Every year, every week, every month is a new beginning. Every day is a new gift from the Lord for you to live for him and his glory. We talked about the gift in previous sermons. And we talked about how G stood for generosity. We want to be giving generously. We talked about I, where we want to have integrity. We want to be using our finances in a proper way so that even if other people looked at our finances, we don't have to be afraid because we have integrity with our finances. We talked about F, the word gift. We want to be frugal. We want to be frugal with our finances. We want to be smart. We want to be careful with our finances because only then will we be able to really know how much we have to be able to give to other people and to give to the church. So we need to be smart. We need to be looking at our finances carefully. We need to be frugal. And the last one is that we need to be giving thanks. We want to give thanksgiving to the Lord because we realize that our God is an abundant God. And he's pouring down his blessings upon us so that we have enough for what we need. And not only does he give us enough for what we need, but it gets there's an overflow so that we're able to give even more to other people. And we're not able to fully give to other people, but that's why we point them to our God, our abundant God. And God is able to give them enough and even more for what they need. And so, brothers and sisters, as we close out this sermon and this sermon series, I want to remind us there are going to be many days in the future that you might worry about your finances, about your future, about whether or not you're able to provide for your parents or for your children. But remember that our God is a God of abundance, and he is providing exactly what you need. And so with that in mind, remember that our Lord is returning and our Lord Jesus Christ was faithful and wise for us. With that in mind, let's do our best. Let's continue to learn what it means to be faithful and wise and to be living with this gift of new beginnings every day. To be a person that is reminded over and over again that God is providing for us and that we want to be able to share his love with others. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for the wonderful gift of new beginnings. We don't have to live this life perfectly because, Lord Jesus, you lived it perfectly for us. So, Lord, every day is a new chance, a new opportunity to live for you. And even though we sin, and even though we're unfaithful, Lord, you have taken care of all of that on the cross for us. And so, Lord, help us to learn and continue to grow, to know how to be faithful and wise for your kingdom and for your glory. I pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.